The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 35. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from the book of James, chapter 2. My brothers, show no impartiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark 7:24-37. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know. Yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee and the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. You know, in a recent conversation a couple weeks ago with a buddy in Seattle. The descriptor, good Christian, was used to describe a mutual friend of ours. Do you ever wonder if you're a good Christian? I'm not sure what that means. There's always been controversy about what distinguishes a good Christian from a lousy Christian. That was true even in the early days of the church. For example, Randy just read in our epistle lesson from James that James makes the case that good deeds always accompany faith. And that seems reasonable. But the implication is that if you're lagging behind in good deeds, maybe you aren't such a good Christian. So the question arises, how many good deeds do you need to do? And is there a point where you can fall so far behind in manufacturing good deeds that you're no longer even in the club? It's not even that you're a bad Christian. It's that you're so lacking in kindnesses toward others that you don't even qualify to be a Christian. Or what if you just don't exhibit enough piety? What if your language is a little rough? What if you're inclined to be rude? What if you smoke? What if you chew? What if you go with the girls who do? Or the guys who do? You know, I'm wondering about this, who's a good Christian, not only because of our epistle lesson from James, but I also read this gospel lesson from Mark. And I noticed that the entire book of Mark is absolutely chock full of people who, if they were alive today, I'm pretty certain that most of us wouldn't identify them as good Christians. Most of these characters exhibited no evidence of good deeds. In fact, most of these people Jesus encountered were desperately needy themselves. They were outcasts. Some of them crazy. Most were not the kind of people you could count on for good deeds or anything else. And the surprising thing is, it seems like those were the people Jesus was drawn to. In Mark 5, there's an episode where Jesus was on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, foreign territory for Jesus and his entourage. And there he was confronted with a raving madman possessed by demons. This guy lived in caves used for burial tombs. He habitually cut himself with sharp stones. He walked around naked and bleeding. Everyone was afraid of him. No one would go near him. But Jesus did. And having compassion on him, Jesus cast a legion of demons out of him. The story ends with this guy in his right mind completely restored. Also in Mark, there's the story of the woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years. She'd spent all of her money on doctors trying to find a cure, but nothing helped. Her disease made her an outcast in that society. All her dreams were dashed. Dreams of getting married and having children. And desperate with nothing to lose, one day she found herself trapped in a crowd as Jesus walked by in the town of Capernaum. On a whim, hoping against hope, she reached out for the hem of his robe and touched it. And Jesus felt her shame and desperation and weariness. And having mercy on her, he healed her immediately. Very few people knew this outcast woman. She was a nobody. But Jesus knew her and cared deeply about her. And then in chapter 7, there's this story we just read of Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman. This woman is one of the most outrageous characters in all of Scripture. She was from what today is the southern part of modern Lebanon, near the ancient cities of Tyre and Sidon. She was not Jewish, and this was not a Jewish area. It was outside the borders of ancient Israel. Jesus and his disciples had started to attract a lot of harassment from the Jewish Pharisees. So to get away for a while, to hide for a few days from the Pharisees in Israel, they crossed the border and they entered Syrophoenicia, looking forward to a little anonymity and rest. But this Syrophoenician woman had heard about Jesus. She'd heard he'd entered the area, and she'd heard about his powers to heal. And based on these rumors alone, she sought out Jesus to heal her little girl, who was possessed by a demon. In Matthew, it says that the woman came to the place where Jesus was staying, entered the house, and threw herself at the feet of Jesus, and cried out in a loud voice, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." She was so persistent and so unrelenting and even so offensively rude in her tenacity to enlist the help of Jesus that the disciples begged Jesus to throw her out. And Jesus responded to her bluntly, "Let the children be fed first. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." In other words, I came first to the people of Israel, not to you, not to the Syrophoenicians. But she refused to let go. And recognizing her desperate need for God's mercy and help, understanding her own helplessness and hopelessness, knowing that only God alone could help her, she cried out, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." In other words, "Lord, you are my only hope, and though I am an unworthy dog, I beg for your mercy and kindness." And Jesus immediately healed the woman's daughter. So what's the point? All of these people written about in the Gospel of Mark who received help from Jesus, the crazy man who lived among the tombs and cut himself and walked around naked, the woman who had the flow of blood for 12 years, and the Syrophoenician woman with the demon-possessed daughter. All these people had this in common. They were desperate and hopeless without Jesus. And they were the recipients of God's mercy and compassion and forgiveness. And they were aware that they were the recipients of God's mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. You know, I asked earlier, what makes a good Christian? Is it good deeds? Is it kindness toward others? Loving your neighbor? All of that important is important. But is Christianity primarily about what you do? Your behavior? Or is it primarily about what Christ has done for you? You know, good deeds for Christians take care of themselves. Read Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, where Jesus describes the last day, when all the people are gathered into two groups, the sheep who go to heaven, and the goats who who go to hell. The sheep were praised for their kindness toward others. But they didn't understand. They were shocked. Lord, when did we do all these good things? The point is that those who recognize what Christ has done for them, who recognize their hopelessness without Christ, they are filled with gratitude and humility as recipients of God's forgiveness and mercy and love for them. God's love for them despite their own failures. Those are the people who love and forgive others without even thinking about it. They've been forgiven and they forgive. Their love is often expressed in good deeds, and it's done selflessly. You want to be a good Christian? Then feast on what Christ has done for you. Recognizing your own desperate need for forgiveness, saturate yourself in God's forgiveness of you for the sake of Jesus. Be filled with gratitude and humility. Rest in God's love and forgiveness. Sinful though you are, you've been given the righteousness of Christ. It's been imputed to you. So take that truth and soak it in. When you confess your sins and receive absolution, soak it in. Feast on it when you participate in communion. This is for you, to give you peace of mind, to nurture joy within you. Christ died for you. Those who grasp that's a good Christian. Amen.